the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions. And only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
One more day before Carbon and Emery go toe-to-toe on the football field and renew their rivalry, which has been fairly lopsided over the past 10 to 15 years. And in fact, Carbon has not beat Emory since 2001. But this one also acts as the region opener for both squads in the 3A North Division. So it definitely should be entertaining. Tomorrow we'll get rolling here with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show at 6 p.m. Kickoff is slated to begin at 7. Joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about this game and also how the non-league season went for Emory, we have their first-year head coach, John Famallo. Coach, always great to get you on. Thank you.
No, not a problem. Appreciate you having me.
Coach, we go into league play. It seems like the non-region season has completely flown by, but that means that the season's halfway over. You guys finished the first part 2-2. Couple of really good wins. I love that 4A win. You know, that went over a 4A squad in Payson. The offense really gelled in that contest. Last week, it was a dogfight throughout against Manti. That also was a good victory. Had a couple of heartbreakers in there as well. It seems like during the non-league season, this team, they got a wide variety of experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's it. I mean, Summit Academy was a passing team. I mean, and you know, Payson, a 4A school, really physical team. And then, you know, Delta and Manti, I mean, kind of let us know where we stand in the South and, you know, really physical team. And so for us, we got a lot of experience in a lot of different aspects of football. And so it was good for us.
When you look at the team, you sit and you watch tape, Coach, between week one and week four, what's the biggest improvement that you've noticed?
Again, defensively, I felt like we've made a lot of strides that way. You know, coming in the season, that was one of our biggest goals, was just to get better defensively, not give as many big plays. You know, we've done a few times. But other than that, you know, I think we're starting to get a lot more sound on that side of the ball. Offensively, I mean, it was just looking at, I mean, from week one to week four, you know, there's been some minimal improvements, but things that, just little things that I think we just have to continue to improve on. And hopefully we've spent a lot of time these last couple weeks and, hopefully it shows.
We'll talk about the defense here, Coach. Throughout non-league play, it appears that Emory has one of the top, if not the best, defense in the 3A classification. And you can honestly say that by taking a look at common opponents. I mean, I think you're hard-pressed to find another school that boasted a better defense over the first four games.
I haven't looked at a whole lot of stats or what everybody else is doing. And, you know, so far as our team, you know, I feel good at where we're at defensively, because that was one thing I thought we've always been good at, is moving the ball and putting points on the board. We've just not been real good at stopping opponents. And so, you know, like say coming into the season, that was my biggest emphasis, was, you know, improving this defense. And, you know, if it puts us in the top of, you know, in the 3A, hey, you know, we've kind of, you know, we're getting to that goal that we need to, but, you know, it's still a lot of games to be played.
Yeah, definitely. And now they start counting now. I mean, it's a little bit different,
yeah.
Right? Coach, we'll talk about the offense so far this year. You talked about it, minimal improvement between week one and where we're sitting at right now. From the broadcast booth, one of the things that seems most obvious is that you guys have really had a hard time getting around the outside this year.
No, and you know, that's usually been our bread and butter. You know, we've always been able to get the edge, and, you know, we've struggled to get the edge, you know, this year so far. And you look at tape and, you know, it's a missed block here. It's, you know, it's little things that, again, we feel like we can fix. But, you know, we're going on week five and we keep saying the little things. You know, at some point, some kids got to step up and make some plays. And as coaches, we got to be able to make some better play calls. And so, you know, I think that was the part, again, I knew, you know, I thought we were going to be good at, and, you know, it'd be emphasis, but I look at it, I've got three or four new wing backs. I've got, you know, two tackles that, you know, that we didn't have last year. And so, you know, we feel like we have some experience right in the middle, but on the edges that's where our inexperience is. And I think it's showing for us that, you know, not being able to get the edge as well as we've used to in the past.
You talk about those wing backs. I mean, from where I'm sitting, it seems like they have the speed to get to the outside for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, you've got Logan Cox, who can really move. Tell Gardner, you saw that last week. Casey Jones, he can really get going. You know, Easton's a kid we haven't really got on track for the fact he was injured. the Delta game didn't play last game, and so, you know, kids, we've got to get on track offensively to, you know, help us out there. But, you know, kids with talent and got some speed, we just got to get some blocks and, you know, give them some opportunities to get that edge and get going, show the talent.
Again, our guest right now is Coach John Fumalo of the Emory Sport and Football Team. Coach, we talked to you last week following the victory over Manti. A win like that can really do a whole lot for the team. As far as the morality and the way the kids have responded coming back to practice Monday, Tuesday, and now Wednesday, how has it been? Have you noticed a big change in the team, or was it business as usual?
I think it was a little bit of a change. I mean, it gives you a little bit of a swagger to know, hey, you beat one of the top teams in that South Division, and so, I mean, and a team you haven't beat for a while. And so, you know, I think kind of getting that monkey off your back and saying, okay, hey, now we know how to win a ball game. Now we know how to win a close ball game against a good team. Now let's continue that, you know, and the kids have had a great attitude in practice this week. And so I say hopefully that carries over and we can get this snowball going.
It's Carbon High Week. I know a lot of students always look forward to this. Student athletes look forward to it. I mean, the communities look forward to it. You've been around the rivalry for a while, Coach. When you go into the week where you do play Carbon, kids get up for this, or are they more excited for this than, say, any other non-region game that you've seen so far this year?
Yeah, I think naturally it is for the fact that, you know, this, I mean, it's your rivalry. Someday, I mean, they know these kids, you know, they don't live that far apart. And so, I mean, there's not a whole lot I can say to get those kids a little bit more fired up than they already are if they want to win this game, because it is a rivalry game. So, you know, I think it's just inherent to the nature of how things are set up for that rivalry game.
They always say that rivalry games are the most unpredictable from a coach's standpoint. Why is that?
Because I think it just brings out the best in both sides, honestly. I mean, you know, I think the kids get up for it again because they think it's a big game, and they're going to see these kids all year, you know, as they go to Walmart and other things, you know, they're going to see these kids. And so on both sides, they all want to do their best. And, you know, in the end, I think that's why it's unpredictable, because anything can happen. So
it's been a long time since Emory lost a game to Carbon. I think we got to go all the way back to 2001. Is that added pressure on the kids to not be the team that has lost to Carbon now, as far as all these Emory squads that have had success since then?
You know, that's one thing I try not to share with the kids a ton, is for the fact that, you know, that does add a little bit of pressure, and it's just, they got to treat it as another game, and the biggest thing you have to treat is, hey, this is a region game. We need to start off on the right foot at 1-0, and so, you know, that, I think that's where more of the pressure is, hey, this is a region game, this counts. Not necessarily, you know, we haven't lost since 2001. That's a great stat, but at the same time, you know, whether you lose it, you know, the first one since 2001, or you lose your first region game, I think the first region game would hurt a little bit more than, you know, losing in 15 years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And when you look at it, I know you guys have higher expectations than just qualifying for the postseason, but the way, realistically looking at it, you got to get to two wins, maybe even three. I've talked to some coaches around the 3A classification, and they've all pointed out that the North looks very difficult front to back this year, and said, you know what, maybe one of those seasons where it takes actually three wins to get into the postseason, not just two. So for you guys starting league playoff on the road, that adds a little bit of emphasis to it.
It does. I mean, like I say, it's a Carbon game, it's a rivalry game, but I mean, that region game is the most important one. And you know, start off 0-1 and put yourself in a hole, you know, that's one thing we can't afford to do. There's too many good teams in this North Division, and so, you know, we've got to try to win the ones we can and you know, capitalize on and everything we can that way.
We look at Carbon High. They have one kid in particular that seems to really just push this offense, and that's Nate Olson out of the backfield. He's gone over 100 yards, I believe, three out of the four games so far this year for Carbon. When you watch the tape, is he the main standout that you guys see on the squad?
It is. I mean, he's honestly a great athlete. You can see his speed. And, you know, he's not only fast, he runs really hard, and, you know, he's a hard kid to take down. So one thing I've noticed as I watch tape is, excuse me, he's just a hard runner. You know, he kind of runs with a purpose, and they run a lot of stuff to him. And so, you know, our emphasis this week is try to control the line of scrimmage and, you know, not let him get ahead of steam and, you know, start getting the ball rolling for them.
It's nothing new for you guys. The last 2 weeks, you've gone toe-to-toe with a couple of dynamic runners out of the backfield. You know, this past week, it was Max Stevens. The week before that, it was Dallin Draper. So you guys have had a lot of practice on stopping key backs that really get the bulk of the offense.
Yeah, and I think that's been a good experience for us. Again, we try to give some kids some keys on to what to watch for, and you know when they do that, and you know they get their keys, read their keys well, and you know we're a pretty good team. We got a great front, our front four defensively are really good, and our linebackers had a phenomenal season with Jukes and Labrum, you know, and McKee stepping in there at times, and so you know that's really helped to be able to have these kids just kind of key certain things and react to that, and then they can play a little bit faster and harder.
You mentioned Logan Labrum. He suffered an injury in that game against Manti. What's Logan's status for this weekend?
He padded up yesterday for the first time, starting to run on it. Still a little bit tender for him, but you know, I think by Friday or tomorrow he'll be ready to go.
He's not a kid that necessarily likes to sit on the bench.
No, and that's good. That's the attitude that, you know, I'd like to see from these kids. You know, you don't want to push something that's, you know, that's hurt, but at the same time, if it's, you know, if it's going to hurt sitting there, if it's going to be hurt playing, you know, he'd rather have be on the side, on, you know, be playing with a hurt. So, you know, he's a great kid that way.
What about Easton? Can we expect him in uniform?
I think he's going to dress out. It's still pretty tender, that tailbone, and so, you know, we'll see. You know, he may be a series or two to get a feel and see how it feels. You know, that's one of those injuries I think he can continue to aggravate throughout the season. So I just want to make sure he's healthy, that, you know, we're having him in these region games when it really counts. That's why he kind of sat him out last week. And, you know, if we have to sit him out this week, you know, he gets a few series, you know, I'd rather have that than having to deal with that all year.
Outside of those two, was the team relatively healthy?
Yeah, I mean, we got bumps and bruises like everybody else, but for the most part, we've been fortunate for the first few games. And, you know, I got to credit my coaching staff of getting rotation in. You know, I think we've been really good at that, kind of keeping, you know, trying to keep kids fresh. And so, you know, hopefully we can keep that trend as the season moves on.
Coach, it's always fun to get you on and talk a little bit about the Emory Sport and Football program. Thank you again for the time. Best of luck on Friday, and we'll see you at the game.
All right. Hey, thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
That's Coach Famalo again of the Emory Sport and Football team talking about tomorrow night's matchup. Emory will travel on the road to take on the Carbon Dinos. Kickoff again is set for 7. The pregame show will get underway here at 6. We've got to pause for just a moment, but we do have more coming up. When we return, we're going to be joined by Antoine Staley. He's a writer for the Palm Beach Post in South Florida. We're going to talk college football week 3. A couple of really intriguing matchups. For the first time this year, we'll get a top 10 battle as number 2 Florida State goes up against Louisville. Also, Utah Ute fans may want to pay attention to the BYU game this weekend. They'll take on the UCLA Bruins. I love playing the common opponent game, and I'm really curious to see what BYU's defense does against Josh Rosen. We'll talk about that game a little bit. Notre Dame, Michigan State also this weekend. And you can't forget Ohio State and Oklahoma. So there's some great matchups in the Week 3 season of college football, and we'll talk about those when we return here on 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m.